Well, good morning.
And I appreciate being here again. I think it'd be better if I turned my notes upright. Okay. Well, this is our fourth time here. Maybe you remember the last time I was here with the choir. And I hope you were totally focused on them, because they're beautiful young people, aren't they? And we love supporting them and encouraging them. I'm a grandpa, and that's how I present myself to them. That as a grandpa, you know, I can say a lot of things to them, and I don't get into trouble, because that's the way grandpas are. And we like to encourage them. One of the young ladies is Vanessa, and I think we've already talked to Gordon about maybe Jill and I coming back with Vanessa and letting her report to you. Apparently, I saw her thank you note on the bulletin board, and it said, "Thank you for supporting me as I go to Brazil." And so it's a tremendous privilege for us to see these young people grow and growing in the Lord, and then they're ready to go out. And God can use them in such special ways. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. And I grew up in the farming country of Michigan. Now, that was about 60 years ago. Okay, I told Jill, I don't think I'm that old. growing up, I was 6 years old, and my parents didn't live on a farm, but we had farms all around us. So if we didn't get busy with one of our neighbor friends working in their farm, he would find a farmer who needed help, and he'd assign us. And so many times we would be helping with the haying and things like that. One summer, my father told his friend Ray, "Oh, yeah, you need a helper? Here's Sam." And so I spent the summer with the cattle and the fruit trees, and I had to learn to work. Wow, that was hard. And so we were encouraging our friends and family and in that way. And then Vietnam came along, and I became old enough for the draft. So I prayed and I prayed. I'm a senior in high school. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I had changed my group of friends from those who are running around and getting into trouble, and to a group of friends that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was really encouraging. And I wanted to give myself to the Lord. I wanted to be, my mom says, "You know, you like to talk. Be a preacher. Be a preacher for the Lord." And I said, "Okay." So I talked to Grandpa, and Grandpa said, "You know, it's always good to learn a trade." And I thought, well, the draft is coming up, and what could I do? And I loved electricity. So Grandpa says, "Learn a trade, and then when you're out there preaching, you can always do something with your hands and feed your family." And so I thought, good idea. Grandpas can be wise, you know. And so I thought, well, my brother just came back from Vietnam, and alive, so I said, I really don't want to go where he went. And so I joined the Navy against my other brother's wishes. Jerry had joined the Navy, and he says, "Don't join the Navy." And I said, "Yeah, but I could be a nuclear power electrician if I joined the Navy, and I could learn all about electricity." And so I did that. I joined the Navy, 6 years. If you're going to be a nuclear power, they want 6 years of your life. But also I said, and you know what? They don't shoot bullets underwater, so I'm going to be in the submarines. And so, and they said, "Oh, good, come on, we have a place for you on the USS Nook." And you have to volunteer for that. Later on, my son is in the Air Force, and he said, "Wow, Dad, I didn't know you were in special services." And I'm going, "Oh, I didn't really think of it as special services either." But they did give us extra pay. Well, my idea of being a pastor, though, stuck. And as I was going to churches while I was in the Navy, I went to Vallejo Bible Church, and that's where I met Jill. And the pastor taught me how to read my own Bible. Because I grew up in the Christian Reformed Church, and the pastors and the elders there told us what to believe. And they didn't really encourage reading the Bible. And so they did, but it was in a different light. I don't really want to go there as much as I learned to read the Bible for myself and to understand it with that historical, grammatical method of interpretation. I could read those words and know what God's will is for me. And that was just a huge eye-opener. And so from Vallejo Bible Church, I met Jill, and soon we were married, and I still had 2 more years of Navy left, right? And 80% of the time I was on the submarine because we went out to the Pacific and we came back. And there's an illustration there that I want to share with you about going out into the Pacific and being gone for 7 months and coming back. And it's an amazing time of my life. But after that, I went to Sacramento Bible Institute, and then because of circumstances, we went back to Vallejo Bible Church for a time, but then I decided to go back to Grand Rapids and finish school there, and the pastor that we ended up with, Pastor Rick Gregory, he's a doctor of theology, you know, and he encouraged me to finish school at Grand Rapids School of Bible Music. So from there, it's been about 30 years, 1989. 30 years? Is that 30 years? Okay, I'm trying to figure out my math. From there, we went back. We saw California as a mission field. And we went back to be pastoring and church planting and encouraging wherever we could. So Jill and I had went to our first church, and that didn't work out very well. And that's another big story. But then from there, we went to Hearthstone Bible Camp. And for 7 years, directing at Hearthstone Bible Camp up in the hills, the coastal mountains. And it was a great time, a growing time for us. And God really blessed in many ways. And so after that, Sequoia Bible Church in Eureka, California, needed a pastor. And we started filling the pulpit there. And the people just, it's a small group of people, but they just wanted to hear the word. And so I was willing to give it to them. Next thing you know, Jill and I are going, it's an hour away from Hearthstone, and we're just going home joyful and excited that we could preach the word, and they're wanting to learn. And it was an exciting 15 years. Bible Church Crusade at that time wanted to sell the building and try and maybe start over or use the money to church plant in another town. And we said, no, let us try for a little while. And 15 years flew by. So 20 years ago when my daughter Ellie graduated from CBI, we said to each other, wouldn't it be nice if we could be on the faculty at CBI? And here we are. So we've been there about 1 year. And as you know, we need prayer support because I still feel like we're on the front lines fighting the enemy, even at school. So pray for us. And we have prayer cards on the table there. And in fact, all the faculty are supported as missionaries, and all the faculty need prayer, don't they? And as you think about the school, and I know you do, because we have already received tremendous blessings from this church, and we got that parcels of beef. I'm talking about parcels. So You've been feeding us. You've been praying for us. You've been sending your pastor up to teach us. And we're going to really miss Pastor Townsend. And I know you do too. But what a blessing he is. And he's going to go on. But you know, we have our great shepherd. And he is very watchful over his sheep, his people. And it's very encouraging as we keep our eyes on Jesus, right? We're learning, and where's our Sunday school teacher? Keeping our eyes on Jesus and following him and having faith in him and having our hope in him. And that's what Romans chapter 15 is all about. Let's turn to chapter 15 and see what our Apostle Paul has for us. Romans 15, verse 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." And in here we have a tremendous hope that is building. And it's huge. It's a huge plan that God has for us. And it's a huge thing that we want to notice a few things here. Now, your under-shepherd, the Lord has moved him on, hasn't he? And when I was going to Grand Rapids School of Bible Music, Pastor Bill Brew, he's the one who came to our church, and he encouraged us, and he worked with us, and he brought us together as a group to minister to each other. And Bill Brew, I'll be able to shake his hand again in heaven. And yet, I'll never forget how he worked with us and encouraged us. He came to the board meetings with us, and Byron Center Bible Church continued on the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what is going on here, isn't it? In Romans chapter 15. So we have a couple of deliberate actions that you and I can do. Deliberate actions is going to promote unity in the body of Christ here locally, isn't it? And it takes everyone to be encouraged. And I just wanted to use a very small illustration. You remember the choir, at least most of you do. And we had, maybe eight singers, right? Now, what would happen if one of the singers dropped out and says, oh, I have a headache? Now we'd have only seven. Would they sound the same? Would they be glorifying God the same? One dropped out. One couldn't make it for whatever reasons. And of course, we all have lots of reasons why not to do some things. But the choir, really, and oftentimes we would wait when the choir made a practice time, okay? They would wait for everybody to show up. That's ministry of the local church, isn't it? Everyone needs to show up. Everyone needs to be involved. Everyone needs to do something, even if it's just praying. And I shouldn't say it like that, should I? That's probably the most important, our communication to our Heavenly Father, to our Shepherd. Everyone has a place, has a role, and together we can glorify God. And that's in this passage, isn't it? To glorify God, to minister to one another, to admonish one another, to encourage one another. And I was amazed that you started the Sunday school class, and it's the very same subject as we have in this passage, isn't it? To have hope in the Lord. Now, I just want you to realize, and with your permission, I want to tell you, I don't know you well enough, so if you get a little itchy or jittery from the Word of God, that's the Holy Spirit speaking, not me, okay? And so the Lord is the one who moves us together. And there's some things here that are really tough to do. But you know what? Let's pull up together. And what did they say in the movie in Sunday school? Let's tough it out. Let's get it together. Let's work as a team. So CBI has this choir and the singers and ringers. Now, what are we going to do? We graduated two people out of that choir. Well, Lord, we need a couple more choir members, don't we? That's what we do. We go to the Lord. And that helps our hope to grow as the Lord meets those needs. You know, there was a kind gentleman once, and I can't say it was me, but just wanted to stay in bed on Sunday morning. And his wife came into the bedroom and said, why are you still in bed? Well, the gentleman responded, I just don't feel like it. You mean going to church? Yeah, I don't feel like going to church. I need rest. And my clothes aren't ready, you know. And besides, they don't even like me there. And he was being a real Eeyore, wasn't he? Finding all the negative comments. Well, his wife began to encourage him. She said, don't worry about your clothes. I will lay out your clothes just exactly what you need to wear. And if you get up out of bed, I'll give you a hug, you see? And not only that, but I'll make you a very nice breakfast. And just try and encourage you. And besides all of that, you'll feel so much better as you get up and get moving. Well, there's one more reason, honey. You're the pastor. You need to be there. This whole sermon started with Warren Wiersbe and one of his books. And he's talking about the blessing, which we will look at in verse 13. But the blessings of God that comes into our life, promoting joy and peace. You know, that's one of the things we strive for, isn't it? To have that joy and peace. To have that loveliness of the Spirit just coming out from our hearts. And one of the actions that you and I really need to do to have deliberate unity is that we need to please each other. We need to be very careful about that. Now, Barney and Andy, that's one of the trademarks of their show, wasn't it? That they wanted to please each other. In fact, Sheriff Andy would go to great lengths to help Barney out because, you know, he's not all together. But we need to go to great lengths to edify each other. And these actions that we have in pleasing our neighbor will tend towards that unity. And that's our thought here. To have this unity, to have this team player mentality, to have the choir idea of working together. And not just a few, but everybody. Because we all have a voice, don't we? First of all, in this edification and this bringing these things out for the good in others, and we're not really supposed to focus on ourselves when we do that, are we? Humbly speaking, we need to be pleasing the others and not thinking of ourselves at all. And our first illustration of that is in Christ himself. And Christ, in pleasing us, verse 3, pleased not himself. And we could go to several scriptures, and we're going to go to a couple that are important here. But he says in verse 3, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Well, that's in Psalm 69. So let's turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 9, is where that is quoted. He says in verse 7, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And this whole idea, the zeal of the Lord, he even went to the temple, didn't he, and threw the money changer tables over and said, get those sacrifices out of here. And what a roar that happened. And so here's Jesus cleansing the temple. He did that twice in 3 year time. And boy, did he make some enemies, didn't he? As those people had to bend over and pick up their coins. But here we have Jesus accepting the reproach that was between people and God. And Jesus left heaven. Philippians chapter 2. He left heaven. It was almost like the Father said, I need a servant who will go. Is there one here? And Jesus raised his hands. I'll be a servant. Now, wait a minute. That's not where we want to go, is it? I want to go up in life. And here's Jesus coming down to say, I'll be a servant. I'll bear that reproach. I'll do the things that you need to have done, Heavenly Father. And then he says, well, what did he do? Well, it says in verse 4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So he did that for us, to look at him and follow him for our learning. Now, how am I going to do that? I kind of feel already low, right? And we want to work up. Actually, that's not the goal, is it? The goal is to minister to those so that they can glorify God. That's the goal. That's where we're going with all of these things. Christ's example really brings to us the patience and comfort, or in this word, in the King James, it's consolation, right? Now, the God of patience and comfort grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 5, 4 and 5, we have the instruction and the reasons for being pleasing to one another. And how far should I go? How far did Jesus go? He went to the cross. So how far should I go in pleasing my neighbor? Not thinking of myself, but pleasing my neighbor. Well, that's what really the definition of humility is really about. The definition of humility is that I'm looking to Christ Jesus, the goal. I'm following him, acting like him, but the God of patience and comfort is going to really invigorate me.
really give me the energy to please my neighbor. And it's really hard, especially when my neighbor gets a little sticky with me and says some things about me. In fact, I just had that recent thing go on in my life. This person was talking about me. And I'm going, boy, I could really let her have it. And then my encourager, Jill, says, Dan, you need to forgive her. Wait a minute. I don't want to do that. You know, words really do cut, don't they? And so, he says, look at this message I'm working on. I really need to follow that, don't I? I need to forgive her. So, he says, okay, Jill, I forgave her. Which means the only reason I'm bringing it up is as an illustration that this works in my life too. And the God of comfort and consolation and patience, that's where the real power is, you see. It's not in being able to do something, but to be able to forgive, even when it's reproachable, even when, you know, we lock horns, even when we're not working well together. Well, the Lord wants us to have this patience. He wants us to have the mind of Christ, to bear each other up, to build each other up, to encourage one another. So we have Christ's example and the God of patience and comfort to energize us and move us. And you know what happens in ministry? When we're all working together, when we have that joy and comfort and peace in our lives, it really starts growing. It really starts happening. Its joy is very catching, isn't it? And joy really moves us into this area. Now, I had this illustration of the USS Snook. Away from home for 7 months. Okay? Well, at least most of the guys on board were away from home for 7 months. And you know what the greatest desire I ever had in my life? It was to go home. That was the strongest, the greatest. In fact, we coming out of the Pacific, you usually go by Hawaii, Honolulu. You get one day on shore, and then one day back, and then we take off and head for San Diego. Well, that 1 week, that was pretty short. I mean, time flew by. You stand your watches, and you go through all the motions of doing what you need to do on board ship. But then we get close to San Diego Harbor. It says, okay, everyone, we're going into the harbor. Stay alert. And we call that maneuvering watch. So we're going to be going in, and we'll be meeting a tug, and the tug will bring us into the dock and all those things. Yeah, it takes about 2 hours. Do you know how long those 2 hours were? It was forever. When are we going to get there? And then when we get tied up to the dock, we have to bring the shore power on, because I'm an electrician. You've got to plug in the boat to shore power. And the IC guys, they bring the phones in and things like that. And I need the phone to call Jill, because I say, Jill, we're done tying up the boat. I think you were on the pier waiting for me this time. But that's the problem. She is there, and I'm still on board the submarine. And the greatest desire was to go home. Now think about where you're heading. Where is your destiny? Well, I hope it's heaven, right? And I hope it's like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, that you will be with Jesus forever. Isn't that a home? And I think there's even a song that I die and I go to the heavenly shore and I find it home. My greatest desire in my entire life. Now, I still like Jill, but it's my home in heaven. I can't wait. And it seems like as I'm getting older, you know, those minutes are ticking by. It seems like forever to be with Christ. Well, that's our first action, is to please one another. And as we look at our second set of actions, we need to receive one another. Not just please them, but receive them. Now, I really feel welcome here. You know, you had the prophet's chamber, and I looked on the list on the board, and it says, oh my, did we miss supper last night? No, Jill and I went to Runza, a new place in Chadron. We kind of planned that. But bless your hearts if you had your home open for us, and we just didn't take advantage of that. But that's exactly what this is, to receive one another. Now, if I'm a foreigner or a stranger, which I kind of am, a strange person, and here you are, you're taking me here. You're receiving me. Now, this works out with all of us together, to receive one another. What if I'm grumpy and don't feel good one day? Yeah, that happens. You know, we have our ups and downs. The will of God is to receive one another and to do it joyfully and patiently. Okay, we're going to see that in verse 13. But this action of receiving one another really tends to bring unity together. And so, and it was a real pleasure to see everybody greeting each other this morning, and the fellowship and the talking. And then Sunday school started, and then Paul did most of the talking. It's okay. And I have to get the students going too. It's okay to talk in class. We need you to ask questions. We need you to interact. We need this idea of, it's okay. Even if I say something wrong, right? It's okay, because we have the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see that in a moment. So we take this friendship that we have, and we're in the house, and we're doing this for the Lord, okay? We're receiving each other. Is there any risk? You say, oh, but I'm shy. Well, you know, the Lord wants us to interact, even if we're shy, right? There's actually no risk, because we accept each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is. Now, Jesus is the one who opened the door for us. Okay, look at verse 7 is our instruction that he's saying, wherefore receive ye one another. How? As Christ also received us to the glory of God. Do you see there's also the goal to glorify God, right? Jesus received us even when we were not looking and acting right. He took us in, didn't he? Jesus is the one who can say, well, look at this person. I can do something with that person, right? Look at Gideon. God says, okay, Gideon, now go in the strength of this might that you have. The might was given to him of the Lord. And so here we are, to receive one another, just as Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we forgive one another, just as Christ, or God, forgave us. See? So now we're acting like Jesus, aren't we? This is the will of God, that we act, behave, think like Jesus. And so, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And so Jesus came to confirm the promises. Now remember, how far back do the promises go? How about the minor prophets? Are there promises there? In fact, there are promises in the minor prophets talking about the day of the Lord that still has to happen. And so there's something in our own hope for God in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Daniel? Did Jesus come into Jerusalem exactly on the right day? Now that's a great problem to figure out in the book of Daniel. Did Jesus come to Jerusalem on the right day? How about Isaiah? Right? Remember Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5? That Jesus took our iniquities upon himself. Wow, that sounds like salvation, doesn't it? Christ himself opened the door for receiving one another. And he was as a servant to the Jews. He says he came to fulfill the promises. How about David? King David received promises in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And those promises, there will be one who will be on your throne forever and ever. That's a pretty hard promise to keep, unless you're God and you can do it. And so here's Jesus coming to fulfill the promises to the father David. How about Moses? Moses himself in Deuteronomy is looking for the one who is to come. Moses himself. He wrote down Genesis, didn't he? He recorded for us Genesis. And Hebrews chapter 11. Who's the first one who had faith in God? Abel. Did you know there's a one before Abel? Who taught Abel? Adam. Is there a promise in Genesis chapter 3? Is there a promise there that after he sinned, there would be one coming? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So this person, Jesus Christ, fulfills a promise that goes all the way back to the original father. Jill and I watched a movie by Dr. Georgia Purdom from Answers in Genesis. We watched that movie last night on the little TV, and it's about Adam and Eve and their DNA and how Adam and Eve are talked about all through Scripture and how Jesus fulfills that role of Adam and Eve and how Jesus then is allowing us to see this. Okay, so we receive our instruction, and here we have the reasons for it, that Jesus Christ is the one who is ministering to even to the Jews, and then he starts going down the list of, and this is so the Gentiles can be blessed. Now look at the list here, starting with verse 9. The Gentiles might come up and rise up to glorify God for his mercy, because he saves us. Do you see that? As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And so David is talking here in Psalm 18, verse 49. Right? I had to pull up one of my Bibles off the shelf to say, I don't have a reference here for this one. And Moses, rejoice, O Gentiles. I looked through the Psalms, I looked through the prophets, and I could not find rejoice, O Gentiles, until, okay, get those cross references going. There it is, Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. Moses talked about it in his song to God. Moses talked about rejoice, O Gentiles, and you know what the rejoicing is about? That God is going to come in righteousness to judge the living and the dead, to judge even the Gentiles and the Jews. And then David again in Psalm 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Isaiah 11, verses 1. There's a root of Jesse. He is coming. And verse 10. The Gentiles will trust in him. Again, the Gentiles are the ones who will look to the Lord Jesus Christ and they will trust in him. He is saving us too. What mercy! What grace that God is giving to us. And then we get to verse 13, the benediction. And the benediction is, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's faith. The just shall live by faith, right? But where's my source of joy and peace? just as our Sunday school class mentioned, it's not time to give up yet. And that was in Dr. Wiersbe's book. It's not time to give up yet. It's time to go on in the Lord. And as we are going on, right, we have a joy and a peace. And that is the energy of pleasing one another. The joy and the peace is the energy of receiving each other. And that joy is truly there by the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that an amazing thing? And in all of these things, we're looking towards the goal. Our hope is, I'm going to cross the finish line. My hope is, I will be with Jesus forever and ever. Now, how do I know that's going to happen? Well, we can go back to the patience and comfort that Scripture might give me hope in verse 4 here. The Scriptures tell me what God is going to do, and then God is telling me what I need to do. Is that easy? It is when I have joy and patience, right? It is easy as we turn to the Lord. Now, verses 14 through 16, it's kind of reversed here. Instead of the instruction, reason, and then the blessing God's going to bring into our lives that we had in the first two actions, the action of pleasing and receiving each other, then the third action is that we would be filled by the God of hope. Isn't that amazing? Where does hope come from? God Himself. His Word. And it's not just a little hope. According to this, you are abounding in hope. I wanted to close with this one section in Ephesians chapter 2. Jill and I are reading Ephesians for our devotions right now. We're reading through the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 12. Are we really able to admonish one another? Well, we can because the Holy Spirit fills us with Christ's goodness. And when you're going to tell me something that I need to adjust in my life, you know what? I can recognize that goodness that you have. And so there has to be a sense of humility to be able to tell somebody and admonish somebody. And there also has to be a sense of meekness to receive the instruction. See how it works? Does Jesus have humility? He came as a servant, didn't he? Does Jesus have meekness? Right? Well, Moses had meekness, didn't he? And he obeyed God in every item that God said with the children of Israel. So we can have meekness to listen and to follow through. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Because this is one of Paul's run-on sentences, right? He likes to do that. Verses 12 through 13. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And that's our key thought. No hope? But how can we have hope? Well, there's a change here. And without God in the world. No Jesus. I was just a Gentile, ignorant, and going on doing what I wanted to do. No hope. I had no scriptures, no revelation from God, nothing. But then verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, somebody started talking to me about Christ Jesus. In fact, being in a Christian home, I knew about Jesus all the time. I heard about Him from the preachers. I heard about Him from my mom and dad. I heard about Him from some of my friends. I heard about Christ Jesus, but it wasn't until he saved me. Right? It wasn't until you, who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, which was shed on the cross, wasn't it? So Jesus, dying on the cross, taking my reproach upon him, and then when I recognized that, he saved me. For he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, that is, the Jew and the Gentile, and that we could all be together to receive each other, to encourage each other, to please each other as one new man and having one body, verse 16. And as we continue, we see that we have one mind and we have one truth. And it's the truth of the cross that destroys the enmity and brings peace in relationships. The truth of the cross. So now that Jesus saved me, what happened to me? What difference does it make? Well, what he did is he gave me a new identity. Verses 18 and 19. This new identity. Even though I might live up in Hot Springs and you're living down here, right? We can have this relationship. Why? Because of our new identity. It says here, for through him, Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Both of us can talk to God, can't we? Now you say, well, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But it's powerful. Because if we ask God to do something for you, he says, I can do that. And then he does that for you. If something good happens here, it's because God has moved in your life. Because somebody out there has been praying for you. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Now, verse 19, that new identity. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers than foreigners. No more strangers or foreigners. And those are two different words. But now you are fellow citizens. You're a citizen, the same as I am. A fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. And that's pretty amazing. You know what a household is like. Right? Gordon, is it okay if Austin comes to your house anytime he wants to? He's in your household, isn't he? Now, how about me? Can I come? Well, only if you're welcome, right? But see, look at what God has done. Look what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's opened up the door. He says, okay, come on in. Anytime you want to. You can live here. And I'm going, when can I move it? Okay. But Jesus says, well, Dan, right now I have a job for you to do. This is the amazing thing that God has done in our lives. Now, do you see that we are all citizens? We're all members of the household of God. We're all working together. We're all ministering. We should receive each other. We should please each other. We should encourage each other. And, oops, here's that word, isn't it? We should admonish one another. Humbly, but also receive that admonishment, right? Mike Gossel and I have been working on, we call it the bus barn, but it's an addition to the shop at Cornerstone. And, oh my, I've gone way over time, haven't I? Anyway, it's a small, short story. And so we're putting the siding on. You know the metal siding and all that stuff. And on one side is an overlapping side. On the other side is the side where... So we're doing the gable end where we got the cut off the angle, right? So I measured, went up there and did all the measurements. I came down. And on one end of the sheet, I cut the angle. And on the other end, I measured the angle. And then he cut them with his cutters. Okay? But you know what I just did? Is I mixed up. And so he took the pieces the next morning, because we did that at the end of the day. And he took those pieces, put them up there, and he says, this isn't going to work. They don't overlap right. And he said, okay, he admonished me. And he said, there's an issue with these pieces. You measured them out. And I got them. And there's an issue here. And I said, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, these pieces, I got to throw one of them away because they're not going to overlap right. See? I said, okay, we'll do it right next time, right? So a small failure in one area, but you know what? I keep telling my students, if you make a mistake, don't worry. Just fix it. Just do it right. And so God wants you, even if you've made a mistake in the past, fix it and do it right. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. And what a great comfort it is to know that we have a God who enables us to love one another, to have that motivation that comes in through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, to have your kind of patience in our hearts, to have a long suffering that we can forbear with one another, that we can interact with one another, that we can minister in such a way that we are glorifying you, Heavenly Father. We pray again that you'll just, as this benediction says, that the Lord Himself, God will, the God of hope, will fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we might abound in hope, and we might have that power of the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and our lives to have all goodness, the goodness of Jesus, to have all knowledge about Jesus, to be able to admonish one another. Father, give us grace as your children to continue in the things of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
You'll stand as we close in 328 out of your hymnals, 328. Have you any room for Jesus?